This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard with Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Every Wednesday on our 7 o'clock hour, we welcome back Rich Fitzgerald. Rich, in the midst of yesterday's cloudy, gloomy look, great news about Mark Fogel. And as I've always said, you're a half person from everyone. You have a direct family connection.
Yeah, you know, what a celebration for the Fogel family. And you have to really admire the work that that Malphine and Ann and Lisa and the whole family have done. And yeah, I graduated with Mark's sister at Carnegie Mellon University. We were engineering students together, and her husband Bob was a good friend. And these are just good, hardworking people that have Pittsburghers to the core. It kind of showed when you saw him with the Steeler hat and the Iron City can of beer. And you know, what an emotional roller coaster that family has gone through over the last 3.5 years. And to see Mark come home was just, you know, had to make any Pittsburgh or anybody in America feel good.
Yeah, it was the lead story on the network early this morning. And when he got off that plane with the Steeler hat, I thought, okay, this is good. But the iconic image for Pittsburghers to see him in the Oval Office with the American flag draped around his neck and holding an Iron City beer can, I thought, this is Pittsburgh. So Mark is a native of Butler.
Went to Butler High School, yeah. Lived in Oakmont, obviously, and taught all over the world, obviously in Russia, and was really dedicated to his students and to try to help young people and educate them on some of the international studies and things that he taught. And he was really dedicated to young people. And it'll, you know, what a story he'll be able to tell now. His experience, it's none of us can even imagine what he went through These last 3.5 years in a Russian prison.
And when he was asked about conditions in the prison, he said, I'm just not ready to talk about that yet. So that was great news yesterday, and there'll be more from Mark and his family coming up today. I thought about you yesterday when I realized today mask mandates are in place at UPMC hospitals and their outpatient facilities. That's for everybody, patients, visitors, staff, and the numbers for the flu deaths. I mean, there have always been flu deaths, and you know more about this than you'd probably like to. But the fact is that, you know, it's come to the point where they've mandated masks again, which is highly unusual.
It is highly unusual, and we haven't seen that, and I'm sure it brought back a lot of memories, not necessarily positive memories, of what we went through almost 5 years ago now, as we come upon the fifth anniversary of the March 2020 when the pandemic hit. And yes, we've always, the health department, I remember coming into this show as county executive every year at the beginning of flu season, encouraging people, right, particularly people of a certain age or a certain demographic, to make sure they get their flu shot. And, you know, we sometimes get a little bit lax in thinking, well, flu's gone, it's not as deadly, as dangerous as it was, you know, decades and decades ago, but that's not the case.
Yeah, and the new numbers are, from the flu, 13,000 deaths nationwide, 24 million people have had the flu this season, and these numbers are trending higher than COVID. So it's been respiratory issues with the seasonal flu, COVID, you've had RSV, walking pneumonia, and it's been challenging enough again that mandated masks at UPMC hospitals and facilities, some other areas may follow suit.
It is. And, you know, I was in Harrisburg last week, and I got to see my good friend, Dr. Bogan, Secretary Bogan now, Secretary of Health. And I'm sure she's very busy trying to make sure around the state that the state health departments are helping people and getting the word out for people to get their flu shot, stay protected, and do all the things we need to do to stay healthy.
Yeah, we didn't get our shot in the studio this year.
We'll have to, you know, put a little bug in their ear about next year and get that done.
That said, I do remember the late Dr. Bruce Dixon, who, as you well know, headed the Allegheny Health Department. He said something that always resonated with me, and you hear it today, about one of the simple things that you can do on a daily basis is wash your hands properly. I know that sounds almost silly to some people, but it makes a difference in terms of infection.
It does. And the simplistic things that, you know, we learn from our mothers and our grandmothers over the years about protecting yourself, like washing your hands, is important. And again, it brings back those memories of Secretary Levine, Secretary Wolf, Secretary of Health, who would sing happy birthday twice while you wash your hands. If you remember some of the things that right. we learned during the COVID pandemic.
Well, back to Mark Vogel's mom, you said she made great wedding soup. Soup's always like a remedy of a good soup on a day like this helps.
What a strong, strong woman. And I did know Malphine. I've known her, you know, back again when I went to school with her daughter and got to know the family. Just, you know, again, a solid, solid family. And, you know, 95, 96 years old and the strength that she has shown over these last 3.5 years, lobbying the elected officials at the highest level, getting people to really remember and keep him, keep Mark in the public eye, and making right. sure that, you know, the pressure stayed on, whether it was President Biden, President Trump, Senator Casey, now Senator McCormick, Reschenthaler. I mean, so many of the folks that came, Congressman Reschenthaler, came together, and I am sure that first meal that Malphine will be making for Mark will be, it will taste extra, extra good.
Here's what she said when she found out Mark was coming home.
He said, "Buongiorno." I said, "Well, this is the wrong time for you to be calling." And he said, I says, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm in the Moscow airport. I'm waiting for a plane." He said, "I should be in Washington tonight. I'm coming home," he says. I just got dizzy. I thought, did I get this right? I couldn't process it.
Such a beautiful moment for the Fogel family. And coming up next, we're going to take you to Greene County and talk about what, along with my weekly guest in the 7 o'clock hour, the executive director of Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Rich Fitzgerald. And you've taken us all around the region here since we've been doing this together now for, wow, many months. And today we take you to Greene County.
We do. And we have with us today the chairman of the county commissioners in Greene County, Jared Ed Green. Jared's beginning his second year in as the county commissioner in Greene County. And I know they got a lot of exciting things that the commissioner is working on. And welcome, commissioner. I want to hear some of the great things that you and your team are working on in Greene County.
Well, thank you, Rich, and good snowy morning all the way from Greene County, Pennsylvania. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. Do you got much snow in Greene County? We have a little dusting here up at in Green Tree.
Yeah, we might have an inch or so, but it's over some freezing surfaces, too, so it's a little slick out there, but we're okay.
So what's going on? What are you working on in 2025, some of the initiatives that we want to see here in southwestern Pennsylvania that are going to happen in Greene County?
Yeah, Rich. So this is the year of transformational economic growth in Greene County, and we're going after some things with everything that we have. You know, all our energy, all of our hope and expectation for the future. One of the first things that we're going to be opening this month is our Sylvius Building Business Incubator. It's right up on High Street, an old Sylvius law firm that was in that building. We got a $2 million grant from the USDA to retrofit and completely gut the building and redo it. It's going to be done probably in a couple weeks. And this is for new business startups. that want to get going, that want a storefront right on our high street, try to beautify our street frontage, get more businesses downtown, but not just for the small, up-and-coming business, but also businesses that are current right now that want to get to the next level, that we want to foster their ideas, the entrepreneurial mindset we want to build in Greene County. And when I say we, it's not the county. This is a partnership with WVU and Waynesburg University and their business departments and folks with subject matter expert in business incubators. And so we have an RFP out right now looking for someone who wants to come in and build this program. What should it look like? Gain support and buy-in from stakeholders in the community, of course, businesses, and what truly that should look like and what that should be. And so we received a $75,000 grant from the Benedum Foundation, another $75,000 grant from the EQT Foundation. We're very thankful for that, and that's going to help the program get up and running and really what it should be. So we're very excited about that opening in a couple months or in a couple weeks here.
That's exciting. Well, it's exciting to see the partnership you've gotten with the foundation community, mentioning Benedum and EQT. Benedum certainly making the big investment in incubators in a neighborhood that we're familiar with called Hazelwood Green here in Pittsburgh. And those incubator spaces have really done a lot of good things for entrepreneurs to take off and to see business growth. So we're glad to see that happening right there on High Street.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, they're around in your region. We toured one in Washington County, the Ignite Center. We went down to WVU. They have a couple down in Morgantown that we're able to tour and get ideas from. But it's going to be different for our area, right, too? So we might have a different space than it looks in other areas. But it kind of goes along with some of my other points today is that, you know, we're going across the state line. We're making more of a regional approach. And really, you know, that idea came into my head. I've only been here a year, but really I started thinking more regionally being a part of the SPC and having a regional mindset. And a lot of the grants too, ARC is another one that we've gone after and we've received. They want to see that. The feds want to see a regional approach to the area, and you're not just singularly focused on your community. So we're very excited about that. The second thing this year that's exciting that's going to happen is our Wise Carver Park. Wise Carver Park is a lake and dam area. It used to be owned by the water company and then was given years ago to Consol Energy and then to the county. And so we are making it a destination, a recreation destination. So right now we have a nice parking lot, a ball field on it. We just got through permitting with the DEP and PennDOT, and we are going to be starting in the spring and summer on a kayak launch down in that area. What's so great about Wise Carver is that it is a high-quality watershed, so it's great for fishing. It's great for recreation. There are some small trails around it now. We want to foster that and build some better trails, but you know, right now it is a beautiful area, and we want to make it that destination. So very excited that this summer we're going to start a kayak launch there.
Exciting to hear, and we're anxious to see how Wise Carver Park moves along. And I know that it also feeds into some of the things that the governor and his team have talked about staycations and all the great things we have in Pennsylvania as a destination, as you said, to be able to come and spend some time and spend some money as well.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, when you talk about the state level, when we look at the state, our number one industry is agriculture. Second is tourism. And when you put those together, that's what we hear from the state when we go to Harrisburg a lot is agritourism. And so, yes, we want to push Wise Carver. We also have initiatives going on at our fairgrounds, a very underutilized space, I believe, in the county. And there's more that we have coming with the fairgrounds as well to push that agritourism. You know, we've been working with our State Representative Bud Cook, Senator Bartolotta, and then, of course, Secretary of Agriculture Russell Redding. And hopefully in the spring, we're going to get everyone together down here, do a tour, and get their ideas from the state level and their initiatives in agritourism, how we can better kind of bolster that and bring people into our area.
By the way, Waynesburg is a feeder system for many of our producers and on-air talent here at Odyssey in Pittsburgh with Professor Fateri. sending a lot of talent this way.
Sure. Waynesburg University, very storied school for communications, and that feeds right into one of the most storied in our area, KDKA. So, yeah.
Well, we appreciate it, Commissioner, taking time you need to be a little more enthusiastic about what you're doing. I love the energy. I really do.
Jared, and Commissioner has a lot of energy. He's a big booster for Greene County.
That's
and the things that
need.
Are going on. It is what you need, and it's great to see the regional partnership with WVU, with all the stakeholders at all levels, and we could see good things coming. Can't wait to see the launch this summer. Can't wait for that, Commissioner. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, very excited. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
From Greene County Commissioner Jared Ed Green on the Big K Morning Show. Till 2, followed by Colin Dunlap, 2 to 6. Larry Richard, the Big K Morning Show with Rich Fitzgerald in studio, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. I know one of the things that's in your mission is you and the team that you work with and all the commissioners, you look at infrastructure is a big part of that. And part of that is our airports collectively.
Yes. Yes, and it was exciting to see another announcement from Spirit Airlines that they're going to be adding direct flights from Westmoreland County Airport to Florida, in addition to the South Carolina announcement they had made. So starting to see a little more activity there. And to see those markets start to get activated is really important because obviously we a lot of focus on the new airport, Pittsburgh International Airport, things going on there. They just added another flight. I think they're up to 62 destinations now, and they keep adding all the time. But the more connections we as a region can have, even from the regional airports, makes us economically stronger.
Yeah, and I love the fact I just took Allegiant from Pittsburgh nonstop to Sarasota Bradenton, 1 hour, 57 minutes in the air, and you're boom. You know, you're there, and I'm starting to see things at the new airport that, you know, outside of where we can't wait to see, you know, the grand opening, but there's a lot of activity going on. And by the way, Sarasota's airport, they added 6 gates for Allegiant. And so when you get there, it's all brand new. And I'm just chomping to see what our new airport will be like.
And these low-cost carriers that have really, again, activated a lot in Pittsburgh International Airport, Allegiant, Spirit, Breeze, Frontier, continue to grow. And like you said, to leave Pittsburgh when it's, what, 18 degrees, and you land an hour and 50-some minutes later in Florida and it's 75 degrees, there's a lot of Pittsburghers that like to take that, a lot of northern people that like to take that trip at this time of the year.
Oh, my gosh, it was so much fun because, you know, it was almost all Pittsburghers headed south. And pitchers and catchers report today at Lecom Park and Pirate City in Bradenton. So baseball's just around the corner. And while we're talking about that, I wanted to ask you about the preparations that are underway, because another big sporting event is the draft next April. But plans are already in place and things are starting to move. Renovations downtown are part of that.
They are. And you've seen probably two big announcements lately in the last week. The 8th Street corridor, 8th Street and Penn Avenue, they're calling it Arts Landing, a multi-million dollar investment. And what'll be just a tremendous green space park that'll overlook the beautiful rivers and the beautiful ballparks. People would probably know it where the Goodyear place was along Fort Duquesne Boulevard. That's going to go away. That'll be leveled. And the renderings have shown some of it. It was in the on the media last week with Kendra and her team from the Cultural Trust. Very beautiful. And then the Market Square renovation that's going to occur as well. A lot of this investment that Governor Shapiro had announced a number of months ago in reinventing and revitalizing downtown Pittsburgh. And as you said, in preparation for the draft, we are going to have 300,000 to 400,000 people that show up to Pittsburgh next April. We want to look good. We want to look good for the country. We want to look good for the world as the eyes will be upon us.
Since part of your mission with the commission is road improvements, Route 28, what else can be done? I mean, there were years and years during your administration in the county that you saw. That's PennDOT, though. People need to know there are different designations for roads in terms of funding and who's doing the work. 28's a state road.
Yes, but what people may not know is that the commission that I serve now, the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, That board, this board is the one that approves and authorizes the funding for Route 28. And it was one of the big projects when I was county executive we did work on and vote on as the expansion. That bottleneck by the Highland Park Bridge was always a place where people coming from Tarentum,
right,
New Kensington, Katanning, et cetera, would get kind of bottled up. They made major, major improvements. Obviously, with the accident yesterday, that kind of slowed it down again. But you will hear people who come from the Freeport area, from Katanning, and they can be in down in downtown Pittsburgh in 25, 30 minutes. So it's really connected Butler County, Westmoreland County, and Armstrong County to the innovation that's happening in the Strip District, Lawrenceville, downtown Pittsburgh.
What other renovations or improvements for Route 28 are in the plans?
Yes, it just continued on, and I think you're going to see some big investments that will occur in an industrial park called North Point, which is actually in Armstrong County, that the commissioners have been working on and continue to work on. And as I talk to them, we talk about these things called data centers. A lot of it's, they're under NDAs. They can't talk about certain things because I think deals are in the works. And I think, you know, this is happening at the highest level where Governor Shapiro and his team are working on things to get some of this investment that, quite frankly, Pennsylvania, as well as 16 other states, are really battling for these investments in data centers. And these are multi-billion dollar investments that are occurring.
And it's coming.
It's coming.
This whole data center thing is the key, right? Because as I understand, the artificial intelligence software needs power.
It is the building block. It is, quote, the infrastructure that will create the ability to have the AI, artificial intelligence, continue to move forward. And all the great things at Carnegie Mellon University and those kind of Googles and Amazons and NVIDIAs are working on. You know, we need to have the power. We need to have the ability to do a lot of that work that we see happening. And because of what we have here in southwestern Pennsylvania, the remaining infrastructure from our industrial age, obviously the natural gas and things that we have, put us in a good spot.
And that said, ice fishing on Lake Erie, it's been a while.
It's been a while. They haven't had that, I think, at least 3 years. And, you know, reading the stories, this is the biggest outpouring they've had of people showing up for over a decade. So the lakes haven't frozen for a while, but I guess we have an old-fashioned winter again, Larry, as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. And even though pitchers and catchers are coming, it still looks like winter's going to hang on for a little bit more.
Yeah, the coldest air in 10 years. And as I mentioned this morning, we had Mary Hours on from KDK-TV talking about, we started the year 21 straight days of measurable snow, which I can't remember the last time that happened.
So for all the ice fishermen, take that two-hour drive up 79 and go to Presque Isle and bring your ice auger to cut through the ice and go fishing.
Coming up, some final thoughts with Rich Fitzgerald on the Big K with Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Rich Fitzgerald. Rich, again, you have a connection to the Mark Fogle family, and we kind of joke you're a half person from everyone, and you say the family from Butler originally, his mom's still with us in her 90s. What a day for the family and Mark Fogle.
It really is, and again, the roller coaster that Mark and his family have gone through over the last 3.5 years, and as Paul indicated, really being just caught up in political, as a political pawn in the, you know, geopolitical work that between Russia and the U.S., and finally to be back on American soil, and the emotion that you could just feel with the mother, Mrs. Fogle, as well as his sisters and nieces and nephews and wife and kids. It's just, it's an exciting time, and really our hearts go out and with joy to the Fogle family, and glad to see him back.
Think he'll get invites to Pirates game, Penguins game, Steelers game? He came off the plane with a Steeler tassel cap.
One or two. I think that'll be good. I'm reminded, though, you probably remember this, Larry, when back in the 80s when they released the Iranian hostages.
Yeah.
And Bowie Kuhn at the time said, we're giving them a lifetime pass. I see you laughing. You know what I'm going to say. The great Beano Cook. What did Beano say? Do Beano. You can do Beano's voice.
My God, haven't they suffered enough? That's funny, man. I do remember that, obviously. All right, Valentine's Day Friday, President's Day on Monday. There's something special happening at the zoo.
The zoo is leaning in on Valentine's Day, and apparently our animal friends use a lot of the same courting techniques that people do. They give, instead of jewelry, they give little rocks and little gifts to court their mate. So if you want to see how your giraffes and your seals and everybody courts, go to the Pittsburgh Zoo and see what they're doing this weekend.
I can hear Marty right now listening going, come on, Rich. All right, Rich, thank you, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Next week, and we're going to talk to some of the things happening in Washington County next week as we bring on some of the folks from that great county.
Rich Fitzgerald on the Big K Morning Show.